January 25th, 2011, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
We'll be right back.
Why for Pedro show, January 25th, 2011. Not actually from Pedro, but from right by the harbor here in Sydney, Australia. New South Wales?
Yes.
I think that's the name of the state here. I think we're 19 hours ahead of San Pedro time.
Yes.
The voice you hear is my guest for today's show, Mr. Steve McKay from Pacifica, California.
Hey, Mike. Hi, everybody.
Yeah. And we started the show off with a choice of Brother Steve, Mr. John Coltrane doing India live. And then we followed it up with the first tune from his most recent album, the title tune. You want to tell him?
Sometimes Like This I Talk.
So in the name of the track?
Sometimes Like This I Talk.
Right. So it's what we call the title track.
Yeah, the title
Maybe
track.
I already said that. Explain about, well, first about the tune itself, the composition.
This is kind of like reminiscent of my last album, which is a lot of improv and not particularly a lot of structure. And in between the rest of this album is actual compositions and some vocals and regular kinds of songs. And my buddies Scott and Jonathan decided to put some kind of segues in between some of the songs that are reminiscent of the old Radon kind of a sound. And
yeah.
So this is
what the name of the former album?
Michigan and Dark Tourists. You played that one. Yes, sir.
Right, but maybe the listeners
get
their memories refreshed. When that came out?
Boy, 2006 maybe.
Okay, so 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, and the recording.
This particular one here was recorded at Caesar's Palace in Brooklyn as part of the tracks for the forthcoming Machine Gun album by United Scum Sound Clash, and I'm playing on that one too, so this is one of the outtakes from that.
Okay, how long ago?
And that was April 2006.
Okay.
And, it's Jason Lafarge's studio over there, Caesar's Palace. And then Jonathan Saldana was one of our engineers in Porto, Portugal, and he mixed this one.
Okay. After the fact, they brought him the recording.
Yeah.
We should tell people, why are we in Sydney, New South Wales, Australia?
Well, because we're here to play with the Stooges.
Yeah.
At the Big Day Out Festival, and we actually got 2 days here in Sydney, which is they've added the show. And then we go on to play. We've already played Auckland, New Zealand, and we played Gold Coast up there in one of the few parts of Queensland that didn't get flooded. And after here, we're going on to, Melbourne, Adelaide, and Perth.
Right.
So we're covering
the big towns of Australia and New Zealand. This festival, Big Day Out, this is kind of a deja vu because we did it 5 years ago.
Yep.
Same tell, even.
Exactly.
And in fact, tomorrow is Australia Day, and the same thing. I remember Sydney gig. Probably at the county fair where we had it last time.
That's right.
Yeah, fairgrounds. So, getting back to your new album, would you say it was your own brainchild?
Yeah, I would actually, but I had some encouragement from a lot of my friends, including you, if I might say so, to get the work out there. and really motivated me. There's 13
tunes, right?
Well, yeah, and it's something.
And I think four.
You're on four or five babies. Of them, yeah. Exactly.
But I think people got to understand that it's kind of an anthology, different places. It wasn't all done at once. It was same place, different people. So it's the one common thing, I would say, is the music and sax of Steve McKay.
Yeah, that was kind of my idea to do that. And I had a lot of wonderful help.
We're going to play track number two now.
Oh, right. Dead Chevys.
Yeah, you want to say something about it? Like, what about... This baby goes back in your composition.
Yeah, this is like...
What do you say?
Early 90s.
History, yeah.
Yeah. And even though I really don't have anything against Chevys themselves, it's sort of a... We actually own two of them at my house, but it's sort of an allegory to the United States as a car.
You wrote it in the early 90s?
Yeah.
Bay Area?
Yeah, during the first Gulf War.
Yeah. And,
but we just recorded it, because all these are very recent recordings on this, yeah. Even if the songs themselves are old compositions. This was recorded this May, and I'm backed up by my buddies, the Third Thursday Band.
We're talking 8 months ago.
Yeah, and this is who I play with when I'm at home in the Pacifica and San Francisco area. And so we've got a wonderful, wonderful, great rock band there. We play all kinds of covers and stuff, and they're also kind enough to do a few of my songs.
Okay, let's play it for them.
The flagship of the fleet. Your destiny, a daily drive down safe suburban streets.
With your rich roadies and chromium, a solid U.S. steel. Somewhere a war was going on while you stepped at the wheel. You thought that you
it kept pulling to the right, and you guzzled up a lot of gas. You like to hump that pump boat every night.
You had a little accident a few years down the road, and that is how you ended up shot full of bullet holes.
Tank, You gotta wait in line.
You're unemployed.
You're paranoid.
But we say we're doing fine. You put barbed wire around your house. I got a mean old dog. Now that Chevy's up a vendor block. Truck rusting in the fog. That big old car ran out of gas. I guess Toyota hit your ass.
Dead Chevy.
Hot from Pedro show. We just heard there a couple of Auckland bands, Auckland, New Zealand, the North Island, big town. That was Throw a Fit by Die Die Die, and before that we heard Baby Bitch by Joseph. And of course, starting off the chunk of music there was the second track off Steve McKay's new album. Steve, you want to talk about who played on that?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, Third Thursday Band, and that's Mike Dingle on the vocals and Mike McKevitt on the guitar, Andy Henning on the bass and vocals, and Bruce Schlesinger on the drums, and myself singing some of the background and the saxophone.
When did you record it?
And trading off with Dingle for the vocals. Yeah. We recorded that at a place, two different studios, Radical Sound and Mission Bells studio in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And it was engineered by Charles Gonzalez. And it was mixed by our friend Kamilski and in France. And then he added some mastering in Brussels by Frederick Alstadt and Nico Esterli. And
well, they ended up doing the whole disc, right?
Yeah, and so I can get their names in now because they're the master.
Well, the thing was, for you folks out there, since there is a lot of different sources for this material, they kind of united it to make it one album.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They were very key people involved.
Absolutely.
After the fact, but they kind of cemented it. I like it the way it comes from different places, but it could have been jumping all over the place dynamically without their help.
No,
with the master.
And that's something where I really did need their help for that. So I'm
now these Auckland bands. The night before we played the gig there, it was actually the first big day out gig of this festival. I was brought over to Mark Rutledge's warehouse. He's converted over to a pad, and he had a bunch of his friends there, young people I visited with. He wanted pictures of me because he wants... He's already painted one portrait of me, but this time he wants my face.
Oh, the one of your hand, which is just
my
beautiful.
Base. Yeah, because Brother Steve's conked at my pad before, and I got on the wall in the living room. And, yeah, it is incredible.
Brilliant,
piece.
Yeah.
And Mark Rutledge, quite a talented man there. And I have to say it was... I mean, they were very nice to me, but I was tripped out because I was asked something that I'd never really been asked before. I was asked, now these people, Mark knew about this stuff, and he's probably the oldest one at 29, but I was asked by somebody about, who told me I was the age of their ma, why was punk never judged? Why has it always been known as a great music? And I had never heard this, because in the older days, punk was very much judged, and most people hated it. So this was a new perspective, which can only happen probably because time passes and things happen way beyond anybody's control. It becomes part of the thing. But it's something I would have never even contemplated back in the old days. So that was kind of trippy. And it was kind of like an innocent thing. It wasn't a jaded thing or anything. It wasn't trying to be mean or weird. It was just, you could tell that's where they were coming from. That's all they knew. And I didn't want to let them down and just say, yeah, it was, you took a lot of grief for being punk, but it was, that was the reality. It was just ironic, a little funny.
Oh, yeah.
That you can have your life experiences, and then people, you know, time goes on and younger people come on board, and they can share different experiences. It was a trip. There was some music from people. Actually, one of the cats who was there actually started singing with a guitar. He did the Ween cover there. So, track number three now from your new album, Brother Steve.
Okay, this is something that...
You see this fairy coming in? What do you notice about that fairy?
It's got a bow at both ends.
So they don't have to turn it around.
That's great.
The Staten Island ones are like that.
That reminded me of a Staten Island ferry.
Except they're orange.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't have to turn this baby around. It's like they cut two boats in half and just glued their bows together. Okay, tune number three.
All right, it's called Expatriate, and that's a reworking of a song that was on my first solo album called En Voyage, but this is a newer version.
It's still like an early 90s composition?
It's a, yeah, and it's a, once again, no, this is actually was...
late 80s?
Actually, maybe even mid 80s. Okay. When I, about Violent Femmes time when I was with them.
Okay.
Yeah, and anyhow, we've got you, Mike Watt, on the bass, and we've got me on sax and vocals, and a fellow named Damien Reynaud. If that sounds French, it's because the thing was recorded in France, in Eze.
Very close to Monaco.
Eze, France, E-Z-E, France.
Very close to Monaco.
Very close to Monaco, yep. And we did that last July when we were there with the Stooges to play for the Prince. And the Kamilski's listed on guitar. He's also known as Kundahola, and he's on several of the cuts in this album as well, just like you are, Mike. And we just basically learned the song on the spot. And there's actually a video of this. If you went to my Facebook and you went back into my video links, it's just pretty much the same performance with a, you know, more
you know
basic
your
mix.
Your webpage, stevemckay.net. .org. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
stevemckay.org. Does it have a link to your Facebook page there?
I'm not sure if it does or not. Hmm. If you just go to Facebook and use my name, I don't have an alias or anything.
Yeah, so search for Steve McKay, and there's a video of this. Here, we're going to listen to it right now.
Great.
My money and the people I have met, you don't really know me yet.
travel on. There's just one thing to know, I can never go back home.
Watford Pedro Show. Started that off with track number 3 from Brother Steve's new album called Expatriate. Then we heard a band called Red Bacteria Vacuum, I think originally Osaka, but now living in, or a couple of them are, Tokyo. I saw them at the Gold Coast gig on the Lilyland stage, I think it was called.
Lily World,
yeah, sorry. Which was quite a hike, especially with my knee still. People, I'm not on crutches anymore, but I'm still, yeah, don't enroll me in the next marathon yet, because it's still slow go. And then, in fact, there was some hazards because there was mud and stuff. But I made it there, and I made it back.
Well, that mud was a special kind of mud, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which is to say, it wasn't from the rain.
Yeah.
The beer was one of the elements.
Right. And probably some kidney-filtered beer.
Yeah, and then that as well.
Okay, but anyway, that tune was called Why. Maybe that's a statement on the whole experience there. Although the answer ain't too difficult. I think you cannot buy beer. I think you can only rent it.
That's right.
Right. And then we heard something from England, a band called Now doing Is, not Does. Interesting title. Is, not Does. Something, I guess noun versus verb. Maybe. I don't know. It's instrumental. You've done this before, right? Instrumentals. But so the title is very strong. It ends up being the only lyric.
Well, if it's an instrumental, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think we're about to listen to one like that now from
me. Oh, but still, a little bit about Expatriate.
Oh, yeah.
Where did it come from? Obviously, you spent some time living overseas.
Yeah, that was basically, I would say, yeah, I wrote it when I was pretty much lived out of a suitcase and mostly in Europe for the later part of 1983 and most of 1984. And then during that
time... What lands?
France
and Holland, right?
Mostly France and Holland, but then that was when the Violent Femmes picked me up when I was living in Amsterdam, and I joined the group at that point, and then I did American Tourists with them, and then we come back and we do Europe, and we play a lot of Germany and France and United Kingdom and stuff.
Interesting reunion of sorts. And you come down to practice with this new version of Stooges with James Williamson, was actually one of these cats you played with in Holland.
Oh, Rex Reason. That's right,
isn't
yeah.
A trippy loop. And it's from this period, right? This Expatriate.
Yeah. That's true. Yep. Now he actually ended up,
repatriated.
Yeah, and the head of the math department at San Pedro High School.
Yeah.
And later on at Venice
High
School.
But in these days of yore,
he was
an expatriate in Holland along with
Mr. Exactly.
Yeah. Is it a trippy, the journey, a life journey?
No, if
in fact, while we were doing the prax, because this man lives on the west side, Marina Del Rey.
Yeah.
Brother Steve conked with him.
Yeah.
So it was like the total circle. Isn't that trippy?
That's right.
Okay, this studio, I can add something about this tune because I was there on the bass. In fact, it was in a kind of hillside right off the highway, very kind of scenic place. I mean, Monaco is just a one-town country. Not a poor one, though. When you say that, it doesn't mean poor. It means it's just one town. But it's on rocks right on the Mediterranean, right there in between Italy and France. And we were just over the border on the French side in this town, Isa, like you said. And
that was actually closer to Nice. Isa was...
Yeah, it's on the east, the west side, rather.
Right.
The other side would have been Italy.
Yeah.
But you could, from the yard outside the studio hatch, you could just see all this vista. It's pretty incredible. You could see the city, country of Monaco, or principality, I guess they call it. You could see it right from here. It was very scenic.
Right.
And then the people running the studio, I can't remember the name of the studio, but they're very nice people.
Deaf Lab.
That's right, the Deaf Lab. Deaf Lab.
And the engineer is David Argy.
Yeah, yeah. All good people. And, yeah, it was a very fun time. I think at the end there we had some pizza, if I remember correct.
I think you're right, yeah.
But it was a fun time for me. Now, to number four here.
The vacuum does exist.
Yeah. Want to tell us something about this?
Sure.
Just first off, when was it written?
This was another kind of improvised thing. Mm-hmm. And
from when?
This is from November 2009, and it was part of one of the broadcasts from KFJC radio station in Los Altos Hills, California.
Yeah, kind of near where you live.
At Foothill Junior College. Mm-hmm. And it's another kind of a radon thing, and I think actually Scott Neidiger had come into town with Sakara, his band.
Yeah.
And then also we got...
We'll talk some more about it. Let's hear it first.
All right.
Not for Pedro Show.
Thank you. kogo ljudi ne zna, mnogo ljudi ne zna, dožive su tu radost, svoje lepe pesme, mnogo ljudi ne zna. Mnogo ljudi ne zna, dožive tu tu radost, moje lepe pesme, mnogo ljudi dožive tu tu radost, moje lepe pesme.
For Pedro show, we heard something Disciplina Kichma with a tune called Zašto from Belgrade. And before that, Worker Bee with Lip Service, and they're actually from San Jose.
Oh, okay.
Which is not too far from you, actually very close to James Williamson and the helper man Derek.
Yeah, they're basically San Jose area people.
And, of course, we start all off with the vacuum does exist. Does capital letters, right?
Well, now that's that's kind of an obscure reference to one of the musicians on this thing, the zither player is a guy named Travis McAllister, and he was part of a group called Nequaquam Vacuum out of Portland, who's another bunch of Radon affiliates that I have played with. And
Spagma?
And, well, we did shared bills with them and Smegma.
Yeah.
Nequaquam Vacuum means the vacuum does not exist in Latin. So
this is the antithesis.
Travis, I just decided that the vacuum does exist.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Sasha Drummer. Sasha, how'd you get that name? Such a drummer. Okay, Sasha Drummer is the drummer for Sakara.
Not a Ruski.
No, I think his real name's Mike or something. But I'm sorry, I never was introduced to by anything except Sasha. But he's a great drummer, and so we did a little semi-acoustic trio there in the studio for a broadcast. It was, maybe a section of a 10-minute song or something. And that was a lot of fun.
Great. Now we're at the end of the first hour, January 25, 2011. La For Pedro Show. Hold tight for more Brother Steve and his new music. Hour two. January 25th, 2011. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Juan from Pedro Show. Started the second hour off with something off Brother Steve McKay's brand new album. Sometimes
like
this I talk.
That's right.
Right. Tongue twister. And that was a song for Baghdad. And after that we heard a ukulele interpretation of a Minuteman song called Nature Without Man. And Sanford and Song, we're going to credit to that too, because it's from his YouTube channel. And in fact, he gives a ukulele treatment to a lot of good tunes here. There's a Thelonious Monk tune, one that's one of my favorite, In Walk Bud. There's a great album called Underground, and it's got lyrics, and they're rapping about the guys in the scene, you know, In Walk Bud, Bud Powell, obviously. And then they got into something. Yeah. So, Steve, let's hear about Song for Baghdad. Like, this is an older composition.
Yeah.
Early 90s, first Gulf War.
It was, I wrote it the night, the night before we bombed the shit out of Baghdad, which was quite a shock to some of us. Back in 1991, and I've been doing the song, you know, in various ways ever since then. And originally, you played an earlier version of it, I think, a couple of years ago on one of your shows.
I think you were the only one on it.
Yeah,
you had overdubbed several different keyboard,
like, and a couple of saxophones.
Keyboards.
But this is our offering for the album from Nashville. Even though it's not particularly country, we did that at Waterworks Studio.
When?
In April 2007.
And who's on it?
This is what we would call the Radon Ensemble this time, which is a changeable thing, but that's me on tenor sax and woman named Deanna Varagona on the baritone sax, and Vinnie Paternostro on tenor sax, Steve Poulton on the guitar, Sam Lohman on the drums. Scott Neidiger's got credited with noise here. Then later on, Kamielski came in on bass and recorded a guy named Len Steinmuller, Lance, on tuba and trumpet. He's from Bavaria. And Kamielski playing...
These guys were not in Nashville. This is after the fact.
Yeah, this is after the fact. And then Nico Esterle, one of the mastering guys, is on synthesizer on this as well.
So it was
an international effort over a period of a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Now this next one, Rue Interdite D'affiche.
Rue interdite d'affiche, which means...
Affiche, I'm sorry, yeah. My French thing, terrible.
No, that's all right. That means literally the street where it is forbidden to post bills.
Yeah.
Like post no bills.
No flyers up here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that was recorded...
let's hear it first.
All right. Yeah, this is another one of those interlude kind of things.
Yeah. Off the Pedro Show. Thank you. For Pedro Show, we just heard something from Japan, from a band called The Great Funny Pant Sound, and a tune called Kinoko Kingdom. And before that, we heard The Street Where You Can't Post Bills.
Right, Rue Entre de Duffy Shake.
Yeah. Right. Now, who's playing on that?
This is actually kind of like a part two of The Vacuum Does Exist, the interlude that came previously. So
we've got, session?
Yeah, from KFJC. Yeah. And that's me on sax and Travis McAllister on zither and Sasha drummer on the drums.
Okay. Now this next baby is The Prisoner.
That's right.
Yeah. And what can you tell us about the tune? When was it written?
Oh boy, I wrote that probably sometime in the early 90s. It was just sat in my backyard with an acoustic guitar and somehow managed to write down how I was feeling in 15 minutes. It was one of those kind of songs, which I'm very, very pleased to have written, and we've done a wonderful, wonderful job on it here.
Okay, so...
Now why the hell you say, don't you just pack right up and go? But it's so hard to leave behind the only life I know. These walls of worry where I live, that some call sanity. I've looked around, and all I've found are prisoners.
For Pedro Show, that was a prisoner, Steve McKay. Tell us about the recording now and who's on there.
Well, this is a session that we did in December of 2007 at a studio called Baldy's Big Toe in Claremont, California, and that's Henry Barnes's studio. He's also known as Amps for Christ. It's me on saxes, and our friend Kamilski on electric guitar, yourself, Mike Watt, on the bass.
I think Eko-san witnesses.
Yeah, and Eko-san was there, actually, that's right. And then Henry Barnes is playing the bouzouki, and Randy Scarberry's on the drums, and we're featuring a fellow named Ipsy Jim on the vocals. And that's basically his Iggy. The truth may be known now. He said, I don't care what you call me, but you can call me whatever you want on there.
So, some people say Detroit, some say Ann Arbor, but Ig's actually from Ypsilanti.
That's right.
Truth be known.
Truth be known.
Truth be told.
And he was kind enough last year to volunteer his vocal services on that, and so with the miracle of, sending sound files through the ether, we were able to do this thanks to Mike and Jim together collaborating on that effort.
Not in the same room, not in the same month,
no.
Not in the same year.
That's right.
But we end up, yeah.
And then
that's really neat the way that can happen these days.
Oh yeah, and then Kamilski ended up mixing it partially at his mobile studio out there in the desert in Burns Canyon, California, outside of Yucca Valley, and also at the Sans Plume Collective in Paris, where he was living for a while, and had his...
that no lead?
Yeah, unleaded, exactly. You got that right?
See,
your French is getting good, that's right. Sans Plume.
It's the unleaded gas. Okay, yeah. Ig did such a great job with your tune there.
Yeah, that's also, we're going to be, there's going to be a a kind of a promotional 7-inch vinyl coming out that's going to have that that and then something from the Machine Gun album on the other side. But they're featuring The Prisoner on my side of the single.
Now, this next one's got another French title, another street.
It's a Portuguese title.
Oh, that's right. Rua instead of Rue.
Rua Afichação Proibida, which also means street of post-nobles. But
in Portuguese.
Yeah, but the story behind that was me and Scott Neidiger were in Porto one day and we were trying to find a place. And usually the street names are put on the corners of buildings.
Yeah, right.
And in this particular area, it said Afichação Proibida. And said, because we're looking for what street it is. Oh, this is not the street of post nobles. and that's what also got some parts of the Nashville version of Lament extra tracks in there, and it's from New York and Porto, and you know, another one of the interlude kind of songs.
Right. Okay, let's listen to it right now. Watch the Pedro Show. Live from Pedro Show. You just heard, a song from Mike Watt by a band called ATS. Given this, I guess it's in my honor. Much thanks. Before that, we heard Brother Steve with
Rua Afichao.
Afichao, because the Portuguese thing.
You know. Proibida.
Yeah. Proibida. So it's kind of like the Portuguese flip side of
Post
Nobiles. But the other interlude.
Rua Anardi da Fiche, exactly.
Now, we're coming up on the next like non-interlude full tune of your album. It's called The Lament for the
Leaving of the Isle of Lewis.
Yeah. Right. And it sounds like the title has kind of a heaviness to it. Whenever I hear the word lament, maybe.
that's a kind of a traditional Scottish thing as far as a title, we call it a blues, maybe.
Right,
we call
it
a lament.
But you have people.
Yeah, they got a bunch of Mackays out there in the Hebrides on the Isle of Lewis. Yeah,
and you did a visit.
And I did a visit and found out I was related to the whole island.
That's interesting.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it is like, you know, just, Steve, I'd like you to meet your fourth cousin. He's like, that was inspired by my visit to the Isle of Lewis in 1984.
Right, and you never were back.
I haven't been back yet. I want to really go next summer, perhaps.
Oh wow!
Patty. Yeah, bring Patricia. Right. That's right.
Okay, let's listen to it now. Watch for Pedro show. What did we just hear, Brother Steve?
That was a lament for the leaving of the Isle of Lewis.
Yeah. And you told us the story about what went into writing it, but now how was it captured?
Well, my great-grandparents came from the Isle of Lewis, and so this is about kind of their story. But, once again, this is another track that you're on with me, Mike, and you introduced me to these fellows back in, 2007, I think, initially, and we did some recording with them. They're called Estelle.
Estelle.
I found out that
Dublin band.
E-S-T-E-L, and it turns out that word means hope in Gaelic or in Irish.
Ah.
Patricia told me this. She found out from Sarah.
Yeah, I met them because they opened up for me when I did the second opera at Whelan's Dublin in 2005. So we come to town. We had some time.
Well, then, yes, the first session that we did, which they came out on an EP, was only like about... four songs, about 2 hours in the studio. But this one was...
Actually five, because we did a Stooges cover, too.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And the four were named after the gospel writers.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right. And that was a couple hours in between, you know, chowing for breakfast and going to the airport.
Yeah.
It's in a horse stable. We made a return the next year to the same studio, but we had a whole day.
Yeah, and that was... And that's when this was recorded. And that's... So Estelle is...
Bush on the drums.
Andrew Bush on the drums, yeah. And Sarah Scheel on the keyboards.
Yeah.
Steven Anderson, otherwise known as Andy, on guitar.
Yeah.
And Tommy O'Sullivan on the guitar.
And he actually recorded it also.
And he engineered it. Yes, exactly. And I think he did the mix on it too, actually. Mm-hmm. And Angus McAvoy on the guitar, although he's normally their bass player.
Right.
And then you, Mike Watt, on bass, and me on saxophone. And
no, I think Andy's normally the bass player, and Angus was the newer guy that wasn't with the...
Oh, no, that's Angus. Angus was the second guitar player, and he is no longer with them. He went off to music school in Belfast.
Is that right?
Yeah, but I had the pleasure of being able to play a mini Irish tour with them just this past summer. And Patricia came over, and we had a wonderful time and saw the country and played three really good shows. And so anyhow, when we were putting this album together, I was getting in touch with them when I was in Portugal and getting on the horn to them saying, where's the mix? And they sent the sound files in to Jonathan in Portugal, and this is their take on the song. So in a lot of ways, it's kind of reminiscent of like Sister Ray or something. It's that real kind of a, you know... It's not that pretty, but it's done the way that these guys play so wonderfully.
Yeah,
you too.
I agree. Because the Estelle, they have their own style. So when we came in there to play with them, it was like emerging. They gave us much respect, were very kind to us, but they didn't surrender their own. Unique personalities, which I thought was beautiful.
No, that's why I liked their version of this particular song, because I've got, more. We actually did this. I did that song with them this last summer.
On tour.
Yeah.
Great. Now the plan is that EP we did the year before this, and then we got an album's worth of material. It wasn't just the lament for the Isle of Lewis. We got all kinds that day. We got an album worth, and we're going to put them all together and release it all as a CD.
Yes.
And, Estelle, Steve McKay, myself.
Please, Jerry, report to flight deck 26 seats.
Oh, yeah, sipping that Cabernet Limonade. Tastes like a cheap hooker on Monday night. Bitching like Justin Timberlake on clock. It's sucking my sack like sucking your ear. Occasionally I tell the sack, but just keeps on bitching. Motherfucker! 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 real prostitutes. I also just ground them into a liquid and put ice in the cup. This is what I do when I
fish for every person for every fish.
I'm being a fat man with a beard, and sandwich, and communism was born. But then he realized that he didn't want tomatoes on his sandwich, but he had already made them. So he took the tomatoes and cut the halves in halves. Then he just threw them away anyway. So every turkey dinner was abolished for eternity. And the people of the Russian steamboat business got fucking dead in the face. And they got so hungry that they started eating tuna sandwiches. Ew, fuck, that's gross.
Saddam Hussein
had Kool-Aid.
Hitler liked punch. And John Hill liked punch. But when he liked lemonade, Saddam Hussein had Kool-Aid.
Young U.S. people called the Pokemon, the Pokemon, doing communist lemonade. And we're in the end of the second hour of the January 25th, 2011, Watt from Pedro show. 2011. Have you started saying 2011 yet?
Yeah.
You have?
Okay. Because I started in 2010.
Okay. Yeah, it was very awkward before that.
Yeah.
The aughts.
The aughts, right.
Okay. Remote broadcast from Sydney, New South Wales, Australia. Hold tight for hour three. January 25th, 2011. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. And surprise, everybody, there's a brand new adventure of Jack Flanders. Been quite a while now, but Meatball Fulton. Back at the controls of creating another mind movie to run through your head and hopefully widen it up some. This is called The Steam Dreamers of Inverness. And we're going to play you part one here. Seven more parts after. So fasten your seatbelts because we're about to float.
Once again, we return to that old mansion on the hill overlooking the Bay of Inverness. Its windows are like a thousand eyes turned inward, and its doors, hinged on time, open into endless space.
So, here's where it all began. I sometimes wonder, is this where it all will end? Art, why does the old place seem so colorless?
Well, time washes away color.
But it appears so lonely.
Well, there's no one here now but me.
Yeah. Wonder what I should do with Inverness.
You going to put up for sale?
I should do something, huh?
Well, you ever consider a bed and breakfast?
Yeah, right. I can see myself sitting in a rocking chair and telling the guests about all of my thrilling adventures.
You may have to censor it a bit.
Art, my adventures weren't that thrilling.
You've known a few hot ones in your life.
I think I'll let that pass. The place seems so sad, though.
Yeah, it feels like home to me.
Well, what do you do for entertainment?
Well, I read a lot.
Oh, right. Auntie Giles had quite a library. I remember Inverness as being so magical.
Well, maybe it's just the way you're seeing it now.
Tell me, that fourth tower, you ever see it?
No.
Never?
No, not anymore.
This place changed my life.
Yeah, it changed a lot of lives. Here's the library.
Oh, wow. Certainly are a lot of old books. Hey, what's that over there?
I found that up in the attic.
It's nice wood. It's mahogany? Looks very Victorian.
Yeah, just like the rest of Inverness.
It must be some sort of a viewing device, huh?
It has these glass slides. They slip in here and here.
You know, this reminds me of a stereoscope.
Well, that's kind of what it is.
Really? But a stereoscope you hold in your hand. This looks more like a projector.
Yeah, that's right.
I assume this handle does something?
Yeah, you crank on it.
It reminds me of an organ grinder's box.
Well, you don't need a monkey. Now, close the drapes over there and I'll show you.
Okay. But don't we need a screen or something?
No, all you need is the dark.
You know, if this were a stereoscopic projector, there would be a 3D image, right?
Jack, you're feeling pretty sharp today.
But does it actually create the illusion of depth?
Well, that's where your crank comes in here.
Where's that light coming from?
There's a little generator inside. It's about the size of your fist. With one hand you crank, and the other you line up the plates. There. Can you see that?
It does appear to be an early, almost like a holographic image.
Look at that photo. Does that look familiar?
Of course. It's Inverness.
Are you sure about that?
It's a photo that was probably taken sometime in the late 1800s.
Keep looking.
Wait a minute. What's that down there? Is that smoke? Are those factories? I don't get it. I mean, we're seeing the same mansion, but below in the valley. There were never factories around here.
Now look up there.
What? The sky? Well, yeah. Looks gray and dingy from smoke. Is that a dirigible? A blimp? Is there a football game going on?
You don't see Goodyear, do you?
I wonder how they did that. Probably predates Photoshop by about 150 years.
So, what do you think?
I want to see more.
These are the only slides I could find.
Wow, this is a neat little device. You know, it's the sort of thing Dr. Mazzulla would have loved. Whatever happened to Mazzulla?
Well, after your aunt passed, he stayed on for a bit, and then one day he just up and was gone.
Is his lab still here?
Yep, still down there.
Including his alchemy stuff, the apparatuses?
Some of it, yeah.
Well, Inverness. I just can't believe I'm back.
You going to be staying around for a bit?
I hope so. But right now I have a couple of calls to make.
Mojo?
Jack, what's up?
How'd you like to come to Inverness?
You giving a party?
That's not what I had in mind.
Seen any dragons up there?
No, none today.
Unicorns?
The only mythical thing I've seen is old art.
Old far-seeing art?
Yeah, I doubt he can see that far anymore. So what have you been up to?
I've been reading.
Oh yeah? Fiction?
One of the classics. The Bible.
Good book.
And what's brought on this burst of religious fervor?
Curiosity.
Do you have some words of wisdom to dispense or dispel?
You know, the Bible tells of only one incident that happened when Jesus was about 12 years old. That's when he went to the temple and argued with the rabbi. And that's the only one. After that, there's no mention of Jesus for the next 18 years.
Fascinating.
He simply disappeared from Israel.
Well, I heard he went to India.
He doesn't show up again in the Bible until he's 30 years old. And then his ministry only lasted 3 years.
You mean he did everything in just 3 years?
Only 3 years. And he was crucified.
3 years. And he changed civilization. Amazing.
That's less time than we spent in high school.
So what was he doing in those 18 years he was away?
Well, they say that in Tibet there are books that tell everything about those 18 years.
You know that for a fact?
Well, like you, that's what I heard.
Well, he went somewhere.
One of the reasons why Jesus couldn't be accepted by the Jews was because he brought back something so strange, something so alien. It was just too different than what they believed in.
Really?
The Jewish guy was a jealous guy. He said, "If you don't obey me, you will be destroyed."
Jehovah could be a little heavy-handed in the smite department.
Yeah, the Old Testament said an eye for an eye. But Jesus said, "Turn your other cheek." The old Jehovah, he can't love his enemies, so why should man? But Jesus said, "Love your enemies as yourself."
You know, Mojo, this is sounding very Buddhist.
That's right. Jesus said, accept evil. Don't resist it. Don't fight with it. Don't be angry with it. Absorb it. Because evil can be transformed into good.
So Mojo, you're saying what he learned in India helped form Christianity?
India is where the Buddha was born. Buddhism was practiced long before Jesus' time.
And that's what he learned in those 18 years that he was away?
Well, that's what they say.
Why is that funny?
Because they might also say the heart of Christianity is really Buddhism.
Well, they might be right.
Hello?
Claudine, it's Jack.
Are you settled in?
Sort of. Mojo's here now.
Oh, tell him I said hi.
How are things in Montreal?
Oh, wonderful. And how is Inverness?
Well, it's pretty quiet.
You're calling because you want me to visit?
Well, yes. Can you?
Ah, of course.
When?
Soon. Salut.
Yeah, but when? Well, hello?
The next morning, Jack and Mojo enter Dr. Mazzulla's laboratory.
Man, look at all this old stuff.
Well, Dr. Mazzulla was an alchemist, or so he claimed.
Did he ever publish?
Like where? The Journal of Alchemistical Studies?
Is there such a thing?
Beats me. Oh, look. Beakers. Glass tubes. Strange brass devices.
Here's a big old tube-driven radio console.
Yeah, that's what they used to call talking furniture.
Now we have talking books.
Hey, this is interesting. It's a map of Inverness.
That's a map?
Yeah. It has overlays. Here's the mansion. Not just the rooms, but the passageways within the hollow walls.
Wow. Your mansion's got a lot of hollow walls.
There's some I've never even seen.
What's this room?
I don't know. Can you read the lettering?
Yeah, sure is tiny.
Looks like... Steam Dreams.
What's that?
Mojo, I have no idea.
It's a room next to the library.
Well, that's not possible.
Are these supposed to be chairs? Why are they in a circle?
Well, there's an alcove in the library, but it's hardly bigger than a phone booth.
Do you think there's a room within the walls?
I don't see how that's possible. And where's the door?
Look at this.
What are these? Pipes?
Mm-hmm. They go down into the cellar. And what is that?
Oh, that's an old boiler.
A furnace?
Oh, it's ancient. I've never used it.
You see this? See how these pipes are connected to the room above them? Steam pipes.
Maybe there's a steam calliope.
I'd like to hear that.
Why is it called Steam Dreams?
Jack and Mojo return to the library,
This is the alcove.
The walls sound solid.
Yeah, it's oak paneling.
Nothing sounds hollow behind it.
Yeah, no sliding panel, no latch, no keyhole. It can't be a door.
You'd think this is one of those trick walls.
What are you talking about?
You know how you push on a wall of books and it swings around like in the old Abbott and Costello movies?
Oh, yeah. I think I would have known about that.
I bet they hid it here somewhere.
But why hide it?
They wanted to keep it a secret.
Yeah, but why? That's what I want to know.
That afternoon, Claudine arrives. Jack gives her a tour of the mansion.
There are so many rooms. Do you ever get lost?
All the time.
Really?
But that's because the rooms keep changing.
They do?
Yeah, they take on different shapes. Sometimes they change places. Yesterday, the study was where we're standing right now. Today, it's on the other side of the house.
Fascinating.
I never know where the kitchen is.
That sounds very serious.
Oh, it is. And even though there are three towers, sometimes there's a fourth tower.
And what?
There's an old jukebox that plays a haunting song from out of the 50s.
Angel Baby.
Did I tell you about this?
By Rosie in the Originals.
Yes, that's the one.
I love that song.
Well, if you ever hear it, watch yourself.
And where is the jukebox?
No one knows.
Well, maybe it's a mystery you should solve.
Maybe it's best that I never do.
Why?
It could be the end.
Jack, ever since you've told me about Inverness, I've wanted to see it. It had quite an effect on you. You know, without Inverness, your life may have been a little bit more ordinary.
I'm not so sure about that.
I want to freshen up. You can give me the rest of the tour tomorrow. Right now, I want to take a nice, long, warm bath.
So, while Claudine is freshening up, something that will probably take at least the next hour or two, Jack and Mojo descend into the cellar.
Mojo, the furnace is over here.
Oh, man. That's some monster.
Yeah. It's right out of the Victorian age of coal and cast iron.
Looks like that thing ought to have wheels.
Why's that?
You fire that baby up and I bet it could go chug it on out of here.
I always thought this was the furnace they used for heating the house back in the day.
The pipes go over to the foundation and then they just go straight up.
Yeah. It was never part of the main heating system.
What's above us?
The library.
Over there, you got two more furnaces.
Yeah, they're fuel oil. They actually heat the house. This monster is just an old coal burner.
You have coal?
Well, I have a coal bin, but no coal. Why?
I thought we could stoke it up and see where the steam comes out.
I think I better count my fire extinguishers first.
Man, this cast iron has got some fancy designs on it. There's even angels with trumpets.
I would expect for a furnace, devils would be more appropriate, huh?
It ought to be in a steam museum.
Where do these pipes go? That's what I want to know.
Maybe they go up to the land of steamy dreaming.
Jack and Mojo return to the library. Once again, they search the alcove.
It is possible there's a hollow wall behind these books, but certainly not a room. There's just no room.
No room for a room?
Exactly.
What's on the next floor?
A bedroom.
What about the third floor?
A storage area.
What's in it?
Junk.
Let's check it out.
They enter the storage room. There are trunks filled with old clothes, overstuffed chairs, tables, bedsprings, dressers, and even a horsehair mattress.
Man, looks like your aunt never threw anything away.
This is a good mattress. It's firm.
Did you bring a flashlight?
I did. There. As far as the eye can see, just old stuff.
Man, that goes way on back there.
We're in a jungle of junk.
You got any loose change?
Why?
I'm going to throw something.
You'll never see it again.
Come on, brother. You can spare a dime.
Here. Have a quarter.
Keep the light shining back there. I want to see where your money goes. It bounced back.
Hmm. Here. Have another.
I like throwing your money away.
What's it hitting?
It keeps bouncing off something.
Let's see if I can crawl back there.
God, it's impossible to climb over all this junk.
Maybe it's an invisible wall?
I see what it is.
It's a diorama.
A what?
A diorama.
You mean like in museums?
It creates the illusion of depth.
A diorama made out of junk.
It appears as though the junk extends on back there, but it doesn't.
Now, why would they want to go through all that effort?
Because there's something back here.
It's now early evening. A storm is brewing. Claudine and Mojo are sitting out on the patio.
Mojo tells me you found a diorama.
Yeah. It's like out of a natural history museum.
Except it doesn't have stuffed zebras grazing on the savannah.
Jack, why is the place called Inverness?
Well, the person who built it was a man by the name of Aberdeen Angus MacGregor. He modeled it after a mansion he once owned in Inverness, Scotland.
Hmm. Is the original back in Scotland?
It no longer exists. Dr. Missoula claimed that Angus MacGregor was an alchemist, too.
And MacGregor also built the Fourth Tower.
He may have conjured it.
Sounds like we're in for a summer storm.
You know, on Dr. Missoula's map, there's a room called Steam Dreams.
And you think it's behind the diorama?
Something is behind there. We figure there's an entrance somewhere.
The map indicates there is a door.
Can I see the map?
Yeah, sure. I'll get it.
Is it a secret room?
Oh, yeah. It's so secret we don't even know where it is.
Yeah.
It's a strange sort of map. Look, it has these overlays. And, okay, now here is where it is.
Oh, I see. And these are the three towers.
Yeah, that's right.
My. And this, what is this?
That's the North Tower.
What is in the tower?
Just steps that go on up.
And at the top?
It's a very small room.
You've got some hollow walls here. If it's behind that diorama on the third floor, you could get to it from the tower. No, through this wall. And right into that room.
Yes, but there's only one door in that tower. And that's on the first floor.
Let's take a look. All right? Show me the tower.
There's the stairwell. It just spirals on up, see? At the top, there's a trap door.
You get a nice view from up there?
Oh, yeah. It's breathtaking. Here we are.
Man, you can see a long ways from up here.
Is that the jukebox?
Yep, it's the old Wurlitzer, sir.
It's collected a lot of dust.
These are very strange song titles.
They're actually little wisdoms.
Baba Ramdas?
Yep, a lot of his old favorites in here.
Well, it's not plugged in. You got power up here?
Beats me.
Let's see if this thing will light up.
Wow, it's so beautiful.
It is, isn't it?
Anyone got a nickel?
I think you used up all my change, pal.
I have a quarter.
Nah, that won't do. That's a Quebec quarter.
Wait, here. Here, I found a dime.
Any requests?
Baba Ramdas.
All right. Any second requests?
Yeah. Bhagavan Das.
Okay.
Where it is that we are on the path. And the path is fraught with the most fantastic things. You know, right over the bend is eternal damnation. There are parts that are like a roller coaster. You know, you just get to a high place where you're able to say Krishna's name with love, and the ego walks behind you and pats you on the back and says, pretty good.
He's very funny.
Now, here comes Bhagavan.
Why are the walls so thick?
Hmm? Oh, I guess they wanted to make the towers to last.
What are all these marks?
Oh, I believe that's when Meanie Eenie was chasing me with a meat cleaver.
Not really.
Yes, really.
Hey, I ain't no Vincent Van Gogh, and I don't care to look like one either.
Well, it appears she made quite an impression.
It actually turned out to be Jives the butler, dressed up as Meanie Eenie.
And how did you escape?
Little Frida.
But as Jack falls backwards, a wall panel swiftly opens, and in he goes. It closes behind him as the tip of the cleaver smashes through the panel.
Quick, down this way.
Boy, am I glad to see you, little Frida.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot. There is a sliding panel. When Frida grabbed me, that last cleaver chop almost went right through the paneling.
Looks like there's a pretty deep chop, right here.
Yeah, I bet that's it.
Are there steps inside the tower wall?
I believe there are. Okay, let's see. Yes, here we are.
You think Meanie Eenie is still in here?
I sure hope not. Come on in.
Oh, cobwebs.
Oh, man, it's tight in here.
Yeah. It just winds on down and around.
Oh, wait. Wait, Jack. Not so fast.
I'm afraid the batteries in this flashlight are going.
Where is the third floor?
I don't know. Maybe down where Mojo is?
Mojo? Can you feel anything?
I don't know. I can't. Whoa!
Did you find something?
Mojo? Mojo?
He was standing right here, but now he's... Oh!
What are you? Oh, great.
The batteries on Jack's flashlight have died. He stands there in the dark, trying to figure out what happened to Claudine and Mojo.
Did the tower just eat them both? They can't be in the walls. I'm in the walls. And I can't see a thing. Wait a minute. I have my trusty Zippo here somewhere. Ah, yeah. Now I can see. I can see that I'm alone. Mojo? Claudine?
We're over here.
And where is that?
We can't tell. We don't have a light.
But you were standing right here. How did you... Oh!
Were you asking something, Jack?
Never mind.
You just gotta lean on the right place and it flips you around.
Yeah. So, was that a variation on the revolving bookshelves you were looking for?
I guess somebody had to put it somewhere.
Oh, where does this go?
Oh, beats me. I just hope we can find our way out.
Hold your light up, Jack.
What do you see?
Oh, here's a strange door. It feels like a, I don't know, stone?
It feels like bathroom tile.
Really? Man, after all those steps, I could do with a shower.
Oh, this is really strange.
Well, Mojo, you may have your wish.
Look at this floor and the walls, even the ceiling.
It's ceramic tile.
Now, what is a Roman bath doing on the third floor of my aunt's estate?
I don't suppose there's a light switch.
Mojo, this was built way before Edison was even born.
It's the same as the diagram on the map. Six chairs and a circle.
Why in a circle?
Maybe it was a book club.
Yeah. A secret club. That's for sure.
It's like a big bathroom.
Or a steam room.
Hey, Jack, bring your light over here.
another door.
Shall I open it?
No. Let's just stand here and slowly die of suspense.
Oh, my God. Jack, come see this.
Wow. All right, you got me. What's in there?
I think it's a...
I haven't the faintest idea.
I gotta see that.
Claudine, what do you think?
It's a projector?
A cast iron movie projector?
If this predates electricity, then how did they... Oh, I see. Steam pipes.
Steam movies?
Hey, it's not film. These are glass slides.
Man, this thing is loaded with slides, like a Gatling gun.
Yeah. You know, maybe they whirl around and create a moving image?
Like a zoetrope?
What is that?
The zoetrope was invented in the early 1800s.
There were images on a drum that would spin around.
And that created the illusion of motion.
Is that what this is?
I don't think so.
But you're right. It is a projector.
Why are there two lenses?
Wait. You know, Mojo, this is like the hand-crank stereoscope down in the library.
Except this one, you don't crank.
Oh, apparently it runs on steam.
So, is there a screen? Or does it project a hologram that people sit in a circle and watch?
You know, you could be right.
Or maybe they don't sit around it. Maybe they sit in it.
What a beautiful machine.
Jack, we gotta fire up that old coal burner and see if we can get some steam coming into this thing.
Can you still buy coal?
Why not?
I wonder what they call this. A steamograph?
How about a steamoscope?
I think they called it steam dreams.
Claudine, the way you say that, it sounds a little like opium dreams.
Maybe it is addictive. Maybe that's why this has been sealed up and hidden away.
Watch for Peter show. That was part one of eight. Steam Dreamers of Inverness. Something brand new from Meatball Fulton and ZBS Media. Wonderful group of artists. You can tell by the voices it's the same ones going back 40 years. I think it's amazing. They could keep going and still be inventiveness with this kind of medium. I've been a fan since I was first a teenager when I heard these things. So they're trippy. I'm very, very honored to be able to have them here on the Watt from Pedro show for you people. Because, yeah, I dig them. Now, we're back to Brother Steve McKay's new album, World, here. We got a track coming up called Lost in the Fog. And you tell us about that, Brother Steve.
Yeah, this is kind of a modern reforming of a band called Carnal Kitchen, which began about 1968. And it started out with me on the sax and a fellow named Mark Lampert on the drums. And it's had incarnations in Ann Arbor and in San Francisco, and took a hiatus for quite a while, but we managed to put it back together again March of 2009 in Sunset Beach, California. And Mike Watt is the bass player on this one as well. Thank you, Mike. Dick Deluxe on guitar, Jeremy Long on the piano, and as I said, me on the sax and Marco on the drums, and the engineer was Andrew Nast, and it was recorded at what we decided to call the studio Dick Deluxe World Headquarters, Garage Number C Annex. And it's an instrumental version of a ballad that I wrote back in 1982 or something, and... it's really, really a wonderful session. We're going to release
82, were you overseas?
No, it was before then.
Okay. Yeah, now this isn't... It wasn't a one-off. This is part of a whole album.
No, that, and which we will release.
Yeah. And it's the same core musicians. We do compositions, Brother Steve here, and it's, yeah, I can't wait for it to come out, but we get a taste on this album here.
Yeah, I think so. It's a good representation.
Okay, let's play it for people.
Great.
to say that it could never happen here in this loving land of liberty. But they gave us hope and dope and put us in the pile. Non-conforming entities, socialist tendencies, you pay the price upon a crystal night. We'll shed so many tears before this thing is true. As a nation to the deep divides, helicopters hovering so proudly overhead, and you see it on a evening view, and wait until your turn due, as light makes right upon a crystal night.
For Pedro Show. You just heard Crystal Knock from the new Steve McKay album, Sometimes
Like This.
Like This,
I talk.
Following right after Lost in the Fog, which he told you about, but I would like him to explain things about Crystal Knock. This is a kind of an older composition that was actually, it got really changed because Kamielski really. He's very much over this tune. Well, you explain. You can do it better than me.
Well, yeah. No, this is I played on acoustic guitar. It's, you know, it has sort of a gloomy, paranoid vision of a future, hearkening back to a past, like the original Kristallnacht, which was back in 1935 or something like that. happened was they rounded up all the Jews, and in this case, they're going to be rounding up all of us liberal thinkers. But a fantasy, of course. But this was recorded.
I think they called it that because the windows were all getting broke.
Yeah, they broke. It was night of the broken glass.
Yeah.
Exactly. They were breaking all the windows of all the shops.
Yeah. Very sad. Tragic.
This was recorded also in the session that we did in Claremont, California.
Yeah, for the prisoner.
For the same session as the prisoner, so it's the same musicians, including, once again, you, Mike.
Yeah.
And Kamilski, who is playing electric guitar, Peruvian charango guitar, keyboards, and vocals. He sings a beautiful version of this. He's worked very hard on trying to get this all together. And it's taken a few years to mix this, like 3 years to get it to this final version, or current version. And so it was, had some recording work done on it in Richmond, Virginia, and has engineered by Henry Barnes and Barry Conley, and mixed by Kamilski at Track Brack Burns Canyon, California, and Saint Plum, Paris, unleaded, 2010. And I like it especially because I get to play a little soprano sax at the end, which I haven't really done that much with, but it was real good. And I'm really, really happy, happy with this song.
Yeah, I got a cop to my clam. I played a major over a minor part. So that had to be dealt with.
And I thought it was coming from the guitar, so I had to be dealt with. And so when we finally figured out what it was not a hard thing to fix. And
oh man, now this next tune here, this is Zombie Chevys.
Do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is we might call this an extended interlude, and this some Jonathan, our Portuguese engineer producer, had some fun with this one. He just went ahead and took part of the Dead Chevy song that we started out the album with.
Yeah,
and he cut out a lot of it, but he kept me on the sax and he kept Bruce Schlesinger on the drums. By the way, I got to point out that Bruce Schlesinger used to play with the Dead Kennedys.
Yeah.
And Mike McKevitt on the guitar and Andy Henning on the bass. And we kind of call that Zombie Chevys because the Dead Chevy walks again. Anyhow, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, let's listen to it here. Live from Pedro Show. Watch from Pedro show. Just heard Zombie Chevys. And one more tune. Last tune from Steve McKay's new album, Sometimes Like This I Talk. 13 tunes. Number 13 coming up. Stradivarius Cat. I think I've played this before from Songs of Yore.
Yes, you did. It's the same recording.
But I want to play it again because, number one, I really like it.
Well, it also says remastered by Mike Watt here, so it's got to be better. And additional processing by Jonathan Saldana. And, yeah, I guess we talked about it before, but...
it was one of those remote broadcasts while we were on tour with the Stooges. I played it. Yeah. And what it's got sample...
A sample of a recorder. Well, it's not a sample of the cat, it's a recording of the cat.
Yeah, but a sample kind of is a recording.
No, but that, well...
You didn't feed that into the machine?
No, what I fed into the machine was a plastic recorder with a kind of flute sound, and that's played on the little Casio.
Yeah, right.
But then I had a four-track, and God rest his wonderful feline soul, Gato, was the kind of cat that liked to talk a lot, and... If he'd sit there in front of you, and if you just sat there and looked at him the right way and held a microphone in front of him, he would meow. And so I did a little bit of editing on him, but pretty much it was, and then added him to the music. So
right.
And he lived to be 19. I've got to say that. So.
Wow. Yeah. Well, okay. The only two performers on this track, Steve McKay and Gato.
That's it.
From Peter
and one, of course, we have to say, why do we call it Stradivarius Cat? And it was an early morning many years ago. Annie, my ex-wife, and I were waking up, and I don't know if we'd had our coffee yet, but the cat freaked out all of a sudden, and I looked over in my morning brain and said, God, Gato, you're as nervous as Stradivarius Cat. And for those of you who didn't figure that one out, they used to make, and sometimes still do make, violin strings out of cat intestines.
Cat gut.
So that's what it's all about.
Okay, here it is.
Master calling me, he's eyeing me so cleverly. What does he have in mind? I see a long knife in his hand. The strings he plays on his violin were once a part of my cousin Jim. Now you can see the fix I'm in. I'm Stradivarius Cat. All the cats in Cremona never sing at night. We find we live much longer by staying out of sight. Mice and rats in Cremona dance and laugh with glee. They won't invent a better trap till the 19th century. Well, it's one more time that I got away, but he feeds me well for the price I'll pay, 'cause he knows I've got the guts to stay on Stradivarius Cat. Thank you. That's one more time that I got away. But he feeds me well for the price I'll pay, cause he knows I've got the guts to stay on Stradivarius Crab.
Watch for Pedro Show. That's Stradivarius Cat, last tune. Steve McKay's new album, Sometimes Like This I Talk. Brother Steve, how can people get this?
Well, like a lot of records, it didn't come out exactly when it was supposed to, but it's due to be officially released very soon. And we're doing this, it's on Radon Records, but if one were to get in touch with the Polyglot Agency, or go to www.polyglotagency.org. This is a promotional company that is a kind of an outgrowth of Radon, and they're going to make it available, and we'll be able to buy it online. Let's see, I'm trying to remember the name of the
hopefully they put the information up at stevemckay.org.
Hopefully they will.
Because, and maybe even available through iTunes or something like this.
Yeah.
Great. Great. I'm a big fan. Of course, I'm a big fan of yours, but I love this work too. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Mike, once again.
That's great. I think we'll have a chance maybe to do another show before we go home, because we don't go home till the 7th of February. And so maybe in Melbourne, because we've got a few days off there, we can do another show. But really, this is an honor for me. I got to do a whole show about new works from Brother Steve McKay. And I started off another adventure, Jack Flanner. So thanks again for being my very, very special guest.
Thank you. Thank you so very, very much for all your help and all your help with my music and helping to, you know, get it out there. And we're all looking forward to getting critical acclaim and adding your name to it. And Iggy's is not going to hurt.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
No problem. It's been January 25th, 2011. I should have said no problem. It's my honor. Watch from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.